D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mitch Light of The Athletic to help us talk about everything that's going on in college football. And Mitch, I'm sure just like us, you are watching this story unfold in Ann Arbor with former Michigan head football coach Sherrone Moore. I'm wondering what you think the fallout from this will be, because as I mentioned to Willie and Derek, it feels like scandal has been following the Michigan football team in recent years. Do you think the AD gets the axe for this? What do you think the long-term ramifications are of this Sherrone Moore story?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Ward Manuel, the athletic director, survived this. There has been nothing but scandal under his watch, and it's not just football. Juwan Howard, these weren't to this scale, but you know, he punched Wisconsin's coach in a layup line and a handshake line a few years ago. He had an altercation with a strength coach, ended up leaving the school, actually came to Vanderbilt and is now at Notre Dame. So there's just been one after the other. And as new information comes out in this Sherrone Moore deal, it makes Ward Manuel look worse. So, yeah, it is one of the, I don't know what word you want to use, stories in college football we've seen in recent years. And the funny thing, or the ironic thing, is we published a story, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you read everything on The Athletic college football, so I'm sure you read this, where we had like a staff list of, like, this season seemed crazier than usual. Here are, like, the 35 crazy things. And most of them were, like, fun things about, like, the Texas A&M state trooper and the South Carolina player and all that. And, like, the day we published that story, probably the craziest thing that's happened in recent years happened.
So, Mitch, we've gotten some laughs out of how Notre Dame has handled its exclusion from the college football playoff field. I need Willie to give me a good Bavakwa.
Bavakwa.
We've had a lot of fun with Pete Bavakwa. We've had fun with the fact that Notre Dame briefly canceled a book signing by Ivan Maisel because he was on the college football playoff committee. But here's something that I found interesting from Dan Wolkin of Yahoo Sports. Quote, athletic directors in other leagues who learned from Yahoo Sports' Ross Dellinger on Sunday about the memorandum of understanding that grants Notre Dame preferential playoff access are threatening to freeze them out of future schedules. Do you think that all of the saber rattling that Pete Bavakwa has been doing will lead to some sort of consequences for Notre Dame?
I don't, because for a couple of reasons. Notre Dame has, I think I saw this, I don't know if it was our Pete Sampson or someone else, they have like 9 or 10 games locked in for like the next 6 years. And everyone, problem with college sports is everyone acts in their own best interests all the time, whether it's schools or conferences. And there's a lot of schools that want to play Notre Dame because the attendance and all the notoriety. So like when push comes to shove is I'm just using Arkansas as an example. Maybe that's not a great one because they're in the SEC, but is Arkansas going to turn down a home-and-home with Notre Dame just to show them a lesson? I don't think so. But the best thing that happened to Notre Dame the last couple of days was Sherrone Moore stealing their thunder, so to speak. The schools have been battling this week for getting all the most attention in a negative way.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, getting back on Sherrone Moore, in Michigan, where do you think they go as far as head coach? And why do you think that Kalen DeBoer's name is being thrown out there, considering he's still at Alabama? Alabama's in the college football playoffs. Who do you believe is the next coach, and why do you think his name is being thrown in there?
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer's interesting, obviously. He's very well respected. I don't know if Michigan being closer to South Dakota makes him more of a natural fit. I'm sure he likes being the coach at Alabama, but it's a difficult job being the coach at Alabama. And so I think everyone who just speculates that he might, again, be a better fit and enjoy coaching at Michigan more, none of us really know. I can't imagine a scenario which he leaves. I mean, why would a coach leave a college football playoff right before the playoff? That would never happen in college football. So I can't imagine him leaving, but in all seriousness, like, Jed Fish is the name that popped up immediately and makes a lot of sense. He's the head coach at Washington. He does not want to be the head coach at Washington. He looked to get out. several times this year. He was the offensive coordinator at Michigan for 2 years previously. He's well-respected. He's a good offensive mind. Would he be like the slam dunk home run? No, he wouldn't be. But at this point, the pickings are slim. We've already gone through this cycle with so many prominent jobs open. You know, Penn State ended up getting Matt Campbell, but all those other Power Four jobs, the Auburns of the world, you know, Florida, they've got good coaches, but they weren't able to pry the big names away. So I think Michigan's in a tough spot right now. I think Jed Fish would be a decent hire for them.
Now, do you believe ultimately the Heisman Trophy winner would come down to moments, meaning Mendoza's Heisman moment that he had last weekend, or do you think it'll come down to just actual play? Because you look at Diego Pavia, if you're just talking about play, he's clear-cut the winner.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased. I've seen probably every snap of Pavia this year. I think he should win. His stats, everything, you know.
And not saying that Mendoza hasn't been great, because he's been really good this season.
No, he's been great. Yeah, yes. He's got everything. And he has two top five wins away from home. They won at Oregon, and they beat Ohio State. And he didn't, you know, stats weren't great against Ohio State, but no one's stats are good. He made some big plays. I am not going to deny that. And while I've heard some people say, you can take both sides of this argument, he took over a college football playoff team. But they are better this year. Their offense is better. But they also have a good defense to complement him. You know, one of the critiques of the Heisman Trophy is that there are too many voters, and there are too many people that don't cover college football week in and week out. So there's people that aren't tuned in all the time, and they might have been just watching championship weekend and then watch them make a third down throw, and have Gus Johnson go wild telling us the best throw in the history of college football. So I think there's a lot of people that will vote. They get into that Heisman moment. I think a lot of people that really cover the sport will dig in and look at the year-long accomplishments. I think it's going to be close. My guess would be that Mendoza's going to win.
Mitch Light is with us. Mitch, speaking of quarterbacks, I didn't get a chance to get your perspective last week because you're following recruiting quite extensively, so you have the right perspective. Jared Curtis, has Vanderbilt ever had a recruit even close to his accolades just when you look at five-star, et cetera?
What sport? Because you were pretty highly ranked, right, in basketball?
I was.
Yes, he was.
Not really.
Have stars out there, Dan.
But let's stick to football.
That's right.
Stick to football. Baseball, Tim Corbin's got a lot of them, right? And basketball has had some good ones. But football, I don't remember one.
No, never signed in the modern recruiting era, has never signed a top a five-star. So like Jared Curtis in the 247 composite was the number one player, the number one overall player and the number one quarterback, and have never signed a five-star. There's been some top 100 guys, some fringe top 100 guys. There's been some former five-stars transfer in. Actually, I'd have to look that up. There's been some top 100 players recently transfer in, but clearly Jared Curtis is the most notable recruit in school history, not just because he's the number one player, the fact that he was committed to Georgia and flipped at the last minute. You cannot overstate like the significance to the program of getting him to commit.
Here's some information from ESPN. Quote, Curtis's signature, this is right after he made the decision. Mm-hmm. Curtis's signature will hand Vanderbilt its first ESPN 300 edition since cornerback Martell Hite, number 274 in 2023. The program's first five-star signee, he'll soon replace wide receiver Jordan Cunningham, number 107 in the 2013 ESPN 300 as the Commodore's highest ranked recruit in school history. It's a different service, but on ESPN, that's what it says.
Yeah, I think from the 247 composite, I think Nephi Leala, the defensive lineman who signed under Derek Mason, was ranked like 100 or 101. I think he might be the top ranked prospect in school history. Now the 27 commitment they got a few weeks ago, I forgot his name, Omari something. He's local. He's a top 100 kid in the 27 class. Obviously not what Jared Curtis is, but that would be two top 100 kids in consecutive years.
So, Mitch, I think the next question is the momentum that you can get off of this, because oftentimes you get a guy like that and it leads to other doors opening. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think they got the wide receiver who flipped from Alabama.
Owen Keppel.
I think it's Yeah, I think commits flipped due in large part because of Jared Curtis. And so I think what you'll see, though, is for Vanderbilt to take, hopefully this impacts the 27 and 28 classes, because it was kind of too late in the process to get a lot of the other guys on board in the 26 class. So they're saying, hey, we got Jared Curtis. You want to come play with him. So I think no doubt it should help them immensely in the transfer portal, which opens January 2nd, because they need some offensive linemen, could probably use one more wide receiver. It's like, hey, this guy's going to be on campus. You want to play with him. So there's no doubt. It just helps in so many ways. I've had this discussion because, like, they would have been in the market with what they've done offensively. And Tim Beck, you know, the offensive coordinator, how respected he is. They would have been able to get a really good dual-threat quarterback to run this offense. So some people said, well, would you have rather had a veteran who's more established or roll the dice with a freshman, assuming Curtis wins the job? And it's actually a legit question, except you can't say no to Jared Curtis from all the other reasons. You know, first of all, down the road, hopefully he turns into an elite quarterback, but for all of the other reasons, Willie, we were just talking about there, the notoriety, the recruiting, bringing more people on board. So there's really no negatives from signing the number one player in the country.
Well, it's very sorry, it's very early, but what do you think the plan is for him? You want him to go win the job, right? It's like the first overall pick in the draft. You sort of expect him to win it. But as you mentioned, it's not easy for any true freshman to jump in there and play. So what will they do with other quarterbacks on the roster in the portal? What do you foresee, even though it's very early right now?
Yeah, I think the plan, obviously, he's going to be an early enrollee, so he'll have spring practice. Blaise Berlewitz, who, you know, transferred from New Mexico State, has been the number two quarterback. And, you know, he did some really good things in preseason camp, but it can be a little erratic with the ball. He's a very good athlete. Obviously, he's a good fit for this offense. I believe he is coming back and will compete with Jared Curtis. We all expect Jared Curtis to get the job, but I think Berlewitz would be the backup option there. I doubt they would get a portal quarterback there. I mean, they might try. There have been examples of guys, veterans who've started elsewhere, transferring to, teams for like their last year, knowing that they're not really going to have a chance to earn the job. Those guys are hard to find and usually not, quite frankly, very good. They're not guys you want to have to play. So I think it's probably going to be Jared Curtis with Blaise Berlewitz competing with him for the job.
Mitch Leiter of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every week during college football season. Mitch, thank you so much for your time. As always, we'll catch up next week.
Take care, guys.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, yesterday we discussed 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh as a potential Titans head coaching candidate. We're going to discuss another coordinator who's getting a lot of buzz about potentially being the Titans' next head coach. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Vikings versus the Cowboys at 7:20 p.m. on 1025 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South.